Welcome into the Hog Reaction Show. Appreciate everybody listening in this afternoon. Broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, the fourth oldest Ford dealership in America. I'm going to be telling you a lot about some of the deals that they have going on here at Randall Ford throughout the post-game show. I am John Neighbors alongside Tommy Kraft, and we're going to break it all down, folks, as Arkansas loses to Texas A&M in a close one, 31-27. The Aggies get the victory over the Razorbacks. Hogs were in position late in the game, really in the final possession to possibly take the lead. Could not make the plays, came up short. And Tommy, just like every other classic Arkansas-Texas A&M game, this one came down to the wire. And unfortunately for the Razorbacks, once again, in fact, for the eighth straight time, they go away with a loss.
And this game had a little bit of everything. Obviously, we'll talk about the quarterback situation, Nick Starkel's injury, Ben Hicks coming in, looking much better. I think a lot of people probably thought the game was over at the point where Starkel had to leave the game, but that was not the case. Arkansas still had their chances to win. Defense played better, and it really came down to Arkansas was unable to execute in the red zone as they drove down the field late and had a chance to catch a pass to keep the game going with under a minute to play. And that's really what it boils down to today. Is still, you're four or five plays away, three or four plays away in the course of a game from being the victor.
Yeah, and it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough knowing that all the circumstances and all the things that were going against you leading up to this point, and we're going to, of course, do the conversations of quarterback play, as you mentioned, and the things that really went against the Hogs. And it's just crazy to me, Tommy, because like watching this game, I didn't feel like Arkansas played bad. They nope. played well, but it was also A&M playing bad. Nope. It was a combination of everything. And if you just look down the stats, Tommy, Arkansas led pretty much all the great stats that you could over A&M.
Well, you don't win them in the stat book. You win them on the field.
That's right.
This was
That's
the best true. Arkansas has played this year. And John, I mean, just to lay it out, if Arkansas played at this level for their previous four games, this team would be 4-1 after today. They played like they did today. Yep. They're still going to lose today. They weren't good enough to win today. They had their chances. Well, let me back where you track that. They were good enough to win today. They didn't cross the finish line and get the game won. But the That's effort right. and the way they played today would have been certainly good enough to beat San Jose State last week, and I think they would have beaten Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago in game two of the season. So, I think they found a new level. There's still reason to have hope. I don't think Arkansas season is over. I still think there's a chance to win some SEC games if they can build upon. Now, this isn't good enough to get you where you want to be this year, and maybe even contend for a bowl, but there's reason to believe you can build on this. There's still a lot of questions to answer, and Nick Starkel and his health is going to be one of them.
Yeah, we're going to continue to talk about it all. Get to your phone calls and text messages via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into Cherokee Casino Hotline. Broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith. They have the Working Man Special. So come on by to Randall Ford, 5500 Rogers Avenue. Say that I sent you, John Neighbors sent you, and they will hook you up with a gift card of your choice. It's pretty awesome. They got a pretty deal, so you do not want to strike out on this deal and miss it. So stop by Randall Ford, 5500 Rogers Avenue. More of the Hog Reaction Show coming up next on ESPN Arkansas. Welcome back into the Hog Reaction Show, broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue. They have the Working Man Special going on all this weekend, but today we know that you work hard and we appreciate you. So come on in for a special gift from Randall Ford. All you got to do is come in here and say, John Neighbors sent you. No, that is not a joke. You have to say, I sent you. You have to know my name, folks. You come out here and you say that you're here for the Working Man or Woman Special only here at Randall Ford. Now supplies are limited, so don't strike out on that deal and miss it. Say John Neighbors sent you at Randall Ford. We're continuing our discussion, myself, John Neighbors, and Tommy Kraft alongside, talking and reacting to Arkansas's loss against Texas A&M, 31-27. And I know we got a few people calling in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. We'll get to those real quick. But, Tommy, you know, this is one of those games, too, that it's like you knew it, Arkansas A&M, it's a tale as old as time. Every single time, it just is a close game. A&M does not look like a good team. Arkansas played their best game, as you mentioned. I know that you said that the stat book isn't where you win the game, but if you just look at this, Arkansas had more total yards, more passing yards, more rushing yards. They had more first downs. They had more plays. They averaged more yards per play. I mean, they had more sacks. They had more tackles for loss. Mm-hmm. They caused more turnovers. I mean, if I would have told you before the game started and read you all those stats, you'd be like, well, Arkansas probably wins that game, and that's what's got to be frustrating.
Yep. Go. What's the stat there at the top of it, though, the very first stat?
I know. It's the score. I get it.
So, I mean, in the end, I mean, all those things are fine. And, again, that's why I have more hope and more optimism about what the balance of the season. You're going into a bye week. You can get healthier. We still got some questions that we're going to get to about Nick Starkel. I know we've mentioned that a bunch, but it's a huge thing from the game today. Boyd came back after being sidelined briefly. That's a big deal. But I've got reason for the second half of the season, if you will. I know they've played, five games now. I've got reason to believe that, you know, the last seven can be better than you think, even though the schedule is far more difficult. You've still got Alabama, LSU, Auburn, the three toughest teams in this division. I think A&M is not in that group, and we saw that today. I've got reason to believe you can be competitive and have a better chance than you had to win today at Kentucky against Mississippi State at home, and perhaps Missouri at the end of the season. Still a lot of football to play before then. Western Kentucky shouldn't be a team you should have to wring your hands over if you can play no worse than you played today. And that's the key, is can you play at this level or better the rest of the way? I thought they played a good football game today against a good football team and a top 25 team with A&M.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that when Nick Starkel went down with an injury, I think that all of us kind of just said, oh, boy, well, that there goes the game. I mean, you felt like that was your best chance, your best quarterback. Anytime your starting quarterback goes down, it's always a risk. But you got to give a lot of credit to Ben Hicks. He came in. He went 15 to 27, didn't set the world on fire, but 15 to 27, 188 yards, threw for a touchdown, no picks. He had some nice balls down the field, and he had to, you know, receivers make some plays as well. But give Ben Hicks a lot of credit, because there was not a lot of hope or faith that he was going to come in and play as well as he did. But he did, and at least kept Arkansas into the game. And Starkel, the thing about him, too, is before when he threw that pick is when he got hurt. But 12 of 17 for 109 yards wasn't great, but at least there wasn't a whole lot of issues going on there as well. Let's go back to the Cherokee.
Rubbing salt in the wound. You throw the pick, then you get injured on the tackle, stopping the guy from running it back for six. So, I mean, that's salt in the wound for Starkel.
Yeah, that's the brutal way to end it for sure. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Stan is in Harrison. What's going on, Stan?
Yeah, we would have won that game if the referees hadn't been out there tackling us.
What? Okay, so you're talking about the play of what?
Be more specific.
Well, that's it's a figure of speech, but, you know, the discrepancy in the flag.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know about that. Listen, there was a couple bad calls.
Six flags for 55 yards, Arkansas with eight for 48. Arkansas had less penalty yardage. I mean, you think the officials decided the outcome of this game today?
Well, even the ESPN announcers were saying, you know, on that last no call on the pass interference, of course, we ended up making the first down, but
So that's
pretty bad he tackled us.
That's one play. Yeah, I agree. That was a missed call. There's no. Already had a flag down for the offsides. Should have been a flag. Should have had the option between the offsides and the pass interference. I agree with you on that one play. What else?
Well, there were, you know, they sure didn't miss any on us on the pass interference. Some of those were questionable, but they threw the flag.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I appreciate your phone call, Stan. I mean, listen,
there were some Arkansas calls today that were bad.
But that was not the reason why Arkansas lost today. I'm usually the one that will come out against the officials because, Tommy's an official. I don't like him, so I like to go out against him. But
that's fine.
I agree.
The no call on the pass interference was a missed call. Arkansas should have the option.
Yes,
obviously, they'd have taken the pass interference call to give them better field position. As Stan said, they still got the first down, moved on. That wasn't the issue in the game. I didn't think there was some – I mean, the stats don't bear out there is a huge discrepancy in the flags. Arkansas had two more penalties for fewer yards than – but Arkansas's flags, go back and look at them. How many times they had three times, I believe it was, either a illegal shift where they had two men in motion at the snap, or they lined up with five in the backfield. Those are self-inflicted mistakes. I mean, what do you want them to do, not call it? I mean, there wasn't a lot of judgment calls against Arkansas in this game. Sorry, officiating didn't cost you.
Yeah.
I agree that the pass interference should have been a flag.
Yeah, but it was brutal to see just, the amount of pre-snap penalties that Arkansas was having, just not getting guys lined up. And then you also added to the mix of, like, you know, that one possession a game, getting two offsides penalties and stuff. Like, those are just stuff you can't have
in
the pre-snap.
That's not on the referees when those things happen.
Yeah, that's on Arkansas and trying to just be fundamentally sound on those things and disciplined enough to not make those penalties. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Wayne is in Springdale. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, John, real quick, but I got a question before I comment on the game. If I go to Randall Ford there at Fort Smith, which is a great, great organization, I mean, everybody ought to be going. But if I go in there and mention your name, they're not going to say, who the hell is John Neighbors?
Wayne, they may very well say that.
Yeah, they may say it, but they'll still get you a gift card nonetheless.
Yeah. Good deal. Now, as far as the game goes today, I was proud to be a Razorback. Last week, I could not say that. Last week, and I think it was last week's San Jose State loss, I think was totally on the coaches because they didn't coach the team up. This week, they did. And the heart and effort that was shown on the field today, I thought was outstanding. And tip of the hat to the Razorbacks today, we're playing with 30-plus freshmen. There's not a lot of football teams that are doing that. And I think in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be a shining star in the SEC.
Well, I appreciate the optimism, Wayne. I mean, that's what you're hoping to be. And there's no doubt that today, and I'll gladly admit that I was wrong, because today I thought that, you know, Arkansas was just, even if to keep it close would have been great, but the amount of fight that they showed was deserving of credit. Yeah. Because, listen, could have been a time where you lose to San Jose State, you really haven't had any great feelings under Chad Morris as a team or as players. It could have been an easy time for these young players to just roll over and die. It could have been very easy, as we see a lot of teams do, but they didn't. They came out motivated. They came out and made plays. They came out and looked like they were well prepared for the game. And you got to give kudos to that, and you got to give credit where credit is due, because, again, young teams, a lot of times, they don't deal well with adversity, but this team, they definitely came out and they definitely showed themselves today.
And when he's talking about the young team, 53 freshmen, that's the 10th most freshmen in FBS. So, I mean, there are younger teams, but Arkansas is one of the youngest teams in the top 130 or whatever it is in FBS this year. So just 20 seniors, 25 juniors on this team. 53 freshmen, 23 sophomores. It is a young team, but that also means, you know, they ought to be growing up, and those freshmen that are getting considerable playing time ought to be players that are, you know, getting through some, making the repeat mistakes. Hopefully by the time you get through this bye week, get to work on that, and then, you know, the last seven games of the year, maybe they can play closer to a sophomore type level.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Wayne, man. Appreciate the comments as well. Let's keep going through the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Wally is in Bentonville. What's going on, Wally?
Hey, guys. I'm just ready. I'm getting dressed right now to go to the Moral Club Dub. You know, once you get that moral victory, which it seems everybody's happy with. And I'm proud of the players, sure. They gave the effort that I would expect of anybody wearing Arkansas across their chest. But, you know, Tommy said he had hope because of what he saw. But let me tell you this, I don't, because what we're seeing is the Chad pattern. And what I say the Chad pattern is you have to have an embarrassingly bad loss to then get him and his coaches to get the players to where they need to be. Look at the first couple games of the year, Portland State, so-so win, Ole Miss, an embarrassing loss, because they're on about on par with us, or maybe even less, because of all the stuff they've gone through, and we had a terrible showing there on the road as well. But what do? They make changes. They make Nick the starter, and we come out looking great against Colorado State. feel all good about ourselves. What happens? Had the worst loss probably in the last 30, 40 years against San Jose State, right? It's a loss that could get you run at a lot of SEC programs. So it had to get that bad for, I think, the coaches to get their act together. Because would you not agree, even just not just player effort, but play calling, this game may have been the best that we've seen in a long time as well. The mix of the run and the pass, I think they abandoned the run a little too early on a few of our series. But, I mean, so it's like every time. We hung with these guys last year, and we're within seven. So we were, what, 3 points better than last year? You know, or what was the final score? Were we down a touchdown again?
No, last year you lost by a touchdown. This year you only lost by four. So, yes, you were a field goal better.
Right. So we're 3 points better than last year, basically. But looking at the big picture, no one really expected Arkansas to win this game at the beginning of the season. When people were going, we'll get five or six wins. It was probably going to be Ole Miss, maybe Missouri, Kentucky, Mississippi State. But the thing they weren't counting on was losing to the likes of San Jose State. So everything they do, it's like when they have a good week, it almost makes you mad about the previous week. Again, it's like, seriously? That's what it took? And you guys, if you guys would have done this a week sooner, we wouldn't be in bad a shape, even if we lost this game. You know, same thing, Colorado State looked great. Really? You couldn't have started Nick a game or two sooner, and you'd probably won Ole Miss. So it's like these guys have to fail miserably to learn their lesson, or have their backs so far against the wall to learn their lesson. I have tremendous faith in the players. I think they showed a lot of grit, toughness, could have gotten down on themselves once Nick went out, and they didn't. Kudos to Hicks for pulling it together as well. But I am still not sold on these coaches, because the patterns are the same we saw last year. We hung with some good teams and then crapped ourselves against other teams. We're seeing the same thing this year. Until they get a P5 dub, that's tangible improvement for Chad Morris and staff. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, and appreciate the phone call, Wally. And I don't disagree with a lot of that you had to say. I mean, as good as it was to see the players respond, and as good as it was to see that they did show some grit and some toughness, and like you mentioned, the play calling, I agree with you. I thought it was really well done in the game planning for this game. As great as it is to see all that, at the end of the day, you still lost. You're still 2-3. And this is just one of those games that you want to just kick yourself, because it's like, man, you had your opportunities. So is it going to be the same pattern as what you saw last year? Because against A&M, you had your opportunities as well last year. You had some chances. So it's a matter of, okay, heading into this bye week, and then you have to go on the road to Kentucky. Can you shore up some of the problems, shore up some of the dumb penalties that you're getting, shore up some of the issues that you have, and finally get that victory? Because as good as it feels right now to say, hey, this team actually played well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, Tommy, because unless you win and unless you start getting those wins, having a good effort is not going to be good enough.
Quit being your own biggest opponent. That's really been the issue for Arkansas. You mentioned the two or three pre-snap penalties that cost the Hogs today. But that's really been the issue through the first five games, even in the wins that they had. Arkansas still got in their own way. They've got to excel and advance to a point where Arkansas is not making a lot of self-inflicted mistakes. It's one thing to line up and get beat by a better team. And A&M is probably a better team. But I think today they left an opening for the Razorbacks to win this game today. Arkansas didn't take advantage of it. They had their chances to win. They were good enough to win today, and they just couldn't close the deal. They don't know how to close the deal yet, John.
No, I know. And that's what you're hoping, that once they do that, once they close the deal out against at least a Power 5 opponent or an SEC opponent, they could really get it going. But it just makes you think about, Tommy, if they would have been able to make the plays, if they would have won this game, just what it would have done, man, for the fans, for the confidence and everything. You're just hoping also that this team doesn't continue to get worn down from it all, of always just being close but no cigar, close but never getting to make the plays at the end, close but you just don't have any reason to feel good about the next game. I mean, you get frustrated by it, I'm sure. And I know fans are frustrated. I know the players got to be frustrated too, but you know, they have opportunities the rest of the way. Now that we see what some of the opponents look like for Arkansas, like Tommy, they got a bye week and then Kentucky. I could see them playing Kentucky really well, maybe even beating them. They're not an unbeatable opponent, especially when you have a whole extra week to prepare for them.
This should give them the confidence that when they get on the plane to go to Lexington, hey, we will go win this game. That's a lot of it is just, are you mentally strong enough to believe, yeah, we're going to do this? Or when it gets tough late in the game, do you think we're going to find a way to lose it? I know this. I never had the confidence watching the game as a fan, they're going to find a way to win this. You know,
no.
Winning programs get used to winning, and they just find a way to get it done. Even when the chips are down, you're down 14 with 7 minutes to go, you think you're going to find a way. Nobody right now thinks you're going to find a way when you're behind a possession, behind a score, and got to get a touchdown to win a game. You didn't believe it, I don't think. I didn't believe it, and I don't think a lot of people out there listening today thought they were going to score on that final drive.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate, too, is some people are going to look at it as Texas A&M just playing bad and Arkansas not playing that well, even though I think it was a little bit of both. I don't think A&M is that good. Just from what we've seen in the first five games, I know they had some good opponents in Auburn and Clemson, but they just don't look like a good football team. And in Arkansas, it's about response. Remember, it was every game, it's always about how do you respond? How are they going to respond? How do you react? What are you going to do the next week? Well, now after having – I hate moral victories because they don't exist. In my dictionary, moral victories are nothing. That does not matter. And this is not a moral victory, and I hope no one takes it as a moral victory because you've had too many moral victories. If you can respond to this where you have some confidence in yourself as a team, as a coaching staff, and as a player, if they can get the guys healthy again since they got extra time to do that, and they can come out with a good game plan against Kentucky and find a way to get the victory, that's how you take that next step. But the last thing, Tommy, the last thing that anyone needs to see is Arkansas feel good about this or at least feel confident, maybe some hope that they can get another game, yep, that they can maybe win, and then they come out against Kentucky and completely and totally have a San Jose State type of game. That's the last thing you can ever do.
There's no reason to be feeling yourself after that one today.
No. There's no club. I see as a lot of people are texting in our Cherokee club moral dub.
Yeah, we've gotten several texts along that line.
Yeah, club moral dub does not exist, folks. I'm sorry. But, hey, if you want to feel good, if you want to feel hopeful, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you still lost. And you still lost to A&M in a game where you had your opportunities. You just can't let them keep slipping there as well. So if you want to get on the conversation, give your reactions on the Hog Reaction Show, be sure to call or to text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. We'll get to more of your reactions coming up next, broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith. Welcome back into Hog Reaction. Appreciate everybody listening in as we broadcast live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, the fourth oldest Ford dealership in America, where they're having the Working Man Special going on right now. Listen, Randall Ford knows that you work hard and they appreciate it. So come on in for a special gift card from Randall Ford. All you have to do is come in here and say, John Neighbors sent you. That's right. It's an easy name to remember.
Buddy.
John Neighbors sent you. No pressure at all. Yeah.
Who the hell
is you don't have
John
to spell
Neighbors?
It. That's okay. And you know what? If you get that reaction, don't be surprised. But that's okay. Just come in here, say my name. John Neighbors sent you, and you will get the Working Man or Woman Special. Only here at Randall Ford, where now supplies are limited. So don't strike out and miss this great opportunity with Randall Ford.
Sounds like a good gift card.
Make another joke, Tommy, about it.
No, I was just saying that. I'd come in and ask for John Neighbors to get a free gift card. So if you're near Randall Ford, go in and say hi to John and get a free gift card. Some nice gift cards, I'm sure. So, you know.
That's right. That's right. I'm a man of the people, just trying to help him out here on Randall Ford. So we got a lot of people calling or texting in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963, Tom.
All right, Cherokee Casino, every Saturday this month, join Cherokee Casino. So you can do this tonight, Cherokee Casino and Hotel in Roland for the $68,000 Vegas Nights. Starting at 6 o'clock, in about an hour and a half, your chance to win money every half hour, and $1,000 every half hour, and $10,000 at 10 o'clock. So be sure and get there tonight at 6 o'clock for your chance to win every half hour at Cherokee Casino Hotel in Roland in West Siloam Springs.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Kirby is in Branson. What's going on, Kirby?
Well, I just wanted to call in and say I love the effort from the guys today. I also wanted to say that I've been a Razorback fan my whole life. I'm 66 years old. This has been a bad time for us the last few years. I was ready to jump off the Chad Morris bandwagon after last weekend. But then I saw the fight that they put up and the way they played the game today, and I'm encouraged. But I also wanted to remind everyone that is expecting things to happen quicker than what it is happening, which I'm kind of one of those, but I wanted to remind him, when Nolan Richardson came here, after 2 years, I was ready to fire him. I didn't think he could coach. And I believe Chad Morris knows what he's doing. I think he's getting the talent. I think we were just in horrible shape after Brett Bielema. And I just wanted to say, don't be so quick to run this coach off. He's getting some top talent. The ESPN announcers made the comment that this is the second youngest team on defense in the country. So we expect out of youth that there's going to be some inconsistency. So, yes, the coaches have some blame, but I also got to say this is a young team, and I believe we're going to see some great things from these boys before they're done. I look next year. But I think we've got a chance to beat Kentucky in 2 weeks, and that's about all I've got to say. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Kirby.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Kirby. And listen, I think that, you know, what you were saying about the youth and inexperience, there's no doubt about that. And I don't think anybody realistically expecting this team to go out and win 8 to 10 games this year. It was just, if you're looking at it and talking about the criticisms of Chad Morris that people had of the coaching staff and everything, it was youth and inexperience does not matter when it comes against San Jose State. Nope. That was the biggest thing. It had nothing to do with how they play today and why people are on at Chad Morris's neck and wanting him gone, or if they still want him gone or whatever. That wasn't the criticism that they were having is the loss today to A&M. It was the fact that you lost to a San Jose State team, which I didn't check the final score of it, Tommy, but they were getting beat by almost 40 points to Air Force yesterday. So that's the type of loss that is unacceptable, and that's where people were coming in and talking about their criticisms of Chad Morris. Now, again, this is a nice effort, but at the end of the day, you still lost. You're 2-3 right now. You're 0-2 in the SEC. You got some more opportunities down the road, and it's just about getting it turned around because, you know, it feels good today. It looks good today. You may feel a little hope today just because of how they played, but at the end of the day, you still got to get wins.
Yep.
Still got to get wins. So
Close the deal.
That's right. Close out the deal and get you a victory. All right, let's go back. Ooh, this is great. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And good afternoon for the fan base, as I know that you're very disappointed. And it's tough. It's a tough time. And I've been on the Hawk train as I define the Hawk train. I've tried to bring enthusiasm the last couple of years into this program. And the program, by the way, I take great pride in, as a lot of this fan base does, but at the end of the day, it's still another loss. Now, I challenge this team on Ruskin and Zach, halftime and the morning rush, and drive time last week, there is a performance poll. And on performance poll, you climb the ladder a little bit today. But in the end, still too many fundamental breakdowns on defense. And I realize you're very young, maybe the youngest team in college football on defense. You cannot miss tackles and win games. And that's what cost us today. Of course, the turning point in the game was huge for A&M momentum. By touchdown before half was huge. Mm-hmm. They scored. I thought the missed field goal in the first half was huge for our program by getting any points. I thought, you know, the last drive, I thought Ben Hicks showed a lot of heart today. I thought our offensive line, they came to block today. I thought Traylon Burks, as a freshman, stepped up huge and played big today. I thought O'Grady stepped up, and even though he didn't make a catch at the end, it would have been a tough catch, he played tough. But for this defense, even though you got turnovers, it's the fundamentals that got to speak today. And so I don't know where you go from here. I know one thing, last weekend, of being a Hawk fan for 47 years, and I was at the Citadel game as tears rolled down my face last weekend. That was the biggest loss in the history of our program. We did not come prepared to play a football game. So why I see as this coaching staff, if you do not beat Kentucky, not to put pressure on you. I've never seen a coaching staff in any sport. I scored 0-16 and survive. You cannot do that. I tell you this. Will you, on the performance poll, when you get a week by, go out and beat Kentucky? To at least the fan base can say, at least you won an SEC game in 2 years. I mean, you do 0-16, and then it doesn't become a program. Then it becomes a snowball. See, when I talk about a snowball, you know what that means? It starts to roll over on you. Players start to quit. Start quit playing. You got coaches turning on each other. It becomes harder to recruit. So even though today you climb the pole on a performance pole a little bit, you still, at the end of the day, it was a loss. But like I said, I'll be a Hall of Fame winner, lose. I know what a tough loss for Coach Morse. To me, the toughest loss he had in his tenure at U of A was last weekend. You could have not afford, as a coaching staff, to lose that game. And not by a team that most teams in the country will beat 9 times out of 10. And you beat it, and they beat you in your backyard. But today, you showed up and prepared to play a football game. And my lessons to you, as I said yesterday, never underestimate your opponent. Never take your competitor, competition, no matter who you play, lightly. And that's what you did. And so that's on the coaches. And so, again, I said with the fan base would be looking. I'm still trying to decide whether to get back on the coach, this coach's staff bandwagon or not. We'll see in 2 weeks. What kind of team will show up in Lexington? Will it be the team that played against San Jose State? Or will it be a team that will do the fundamentals and win a football game? Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. Well, I'm glad that the Razorback performance got them higher up on the, the effort poll? Is that what he called
performance
it?
Performance poll.
Performance poll. There yeah. We go. The performance poll. So they're moving up in that poll. They may not be in the top 25
nope. In
the AP, but on Eddie and Clarksville's performance poll, they are moving up. So, but, you know, that's the thing, Tommy, and obviously Eddie is always very passionate about everything. It's like people, at least from the reactions that we've been getting with phone calls and text messages and social media and whatnot, it's like Razorback fans, they're proud that they performed well. They're happy that they perform well and that the effort was there, but they're still not satisfied. They're still not saying, oh, okay, well, now everything's all well, good, great, and wonderful, rainbows and sunshine. It's still lingering there, but it's just a matter of, hey, can you build something off of this now? You've been unable to build on any momentum or any success. Can this finally be something that you can build on top of?
Yeah, I mean, does this give you something going into the bye week? If they'd have gotten beaten 30 or 35 or 40 and it had been a decisive win for A&M, would have been a long 2 weeks for them to prepare for the next game, really believing you can go win against Kentucky. So, I mean, to me, I know, you know, that's the biggest thing that comes out of this today, something to build on, something to believe in that you can spend 2 weeks and make the 2 weeks count. I mean, the only way to make it count is to go win the next one, right? And Kentucky's got a really good offensive line. So they've got to do some things to get ready for that game because Kentucky's going to try to get some yards on you on the ground. They got a line that's at least watching the Florida game a couple of weeks ago, that's the real deal. So Arkansas is going to have a challenge, and you got 2 weeks to get ready for it in a winnable road game in the SEC.
Let's keep it going on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Nelson is in Harrison. What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, guys. I've just entered the beautiful metropolis of Siloam Springs, Arkansas.
Oh.
Fixing to go
beautiful. Over
here and see what's happening at the Cherokee Casino.
Hey, Fog Hat tonight. Hey. I got it right here. You can go see Fog Hat tonight starting at 9 o'clock. Yeah, they're going to be right there at 7 at Cherokee Casino.
Hopefully I get a chance to roll them dice and see if I can win $1 million.
There
you go. I got my red hairy hog hat. My red hairy hog visor on and my Trump shirt, so I should be in the running.
Yeah, you'll fit right in. You'll fit right in. It'll be hard to pick you out of the crowd.
I know, right? So, anyways, this is what I want to say, guys. I wish the fan base could – I mean, the fan base has been divided for so daggum long, you know. Yeah, we're not where we want to be, people. I mean, and – it's so much stuff that's went into that. Everybody knows it, the stuff that's went into that, you know. And then you get the fan base. We have something good. Something positive goes on, guys. And everybody wants to nitpick. Everybody wants to micromanage. Today, the coaching staff, the play calling was spot on. Even the plays when we were on the 11-yard line. If Mike Woods catches that ball and we got second and two, we're looking good. You know, I mean, there's, you can say the coaching staff don't know what they're doing. You can say that their play calling is questionable. Even in the game, even in the plays where we were going down the field. I mean, Cheyenne O'Grady catches that last ball, which hit him right in the chest. Anyone can say it didn't, but it hit him right in the chest. Make the catch. We're going for the touchdown. I mean, it's not play calling whenever the guys don't catch the ball.
It's execution.
And every play that was caught worked. I mean, you can say it's play calling, but it's, that's not play calling. I mean, just like in the San Jose State game, people can say it was play calling or whatever, but you don't throw five picks and the play calling is not an issue. But that's what I want to say, guys. I'm about to get off here. I'm in the parking lot of the Cherokee Casino, and I'll let you guys go on that.
Hey, good luck, Nelson.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
I guess if you win the million, we'll never hear from you again. So.
Oh, no, I'm a Hog fan for life.
Just remember, if you win the million, how much me and John love you. All right?
That's
just,
right.
Just remember
all, right. How, all right,
just
guys.
Remember who took your call.
Party's on me.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Nelson. That's great. Fantastic, Nelson. And, you know, and it's funny that he brings that up and talking about just how the play calling, like there's two things that have been brought up on this show already that had no reason to be criticized, and that's one, the officiating, and two, the play calling. Now, I'm not saying they didn't work perfect. I'm not saying that. But
neither
as far
one.
As what, right, exactly. But as far as costing you the game, play calling and officiating are the two things that shouldn't even be brought up as saying, well, this is the reason why you lost the game. This is why things were bad. Neither one of those things should even be brought up. But I do agree with Nelson that the play calling, even because that's the thing too, Tommy. It's not like the play calling was great because they had a great game plan for Nick Starkle. They had to say, oh, crap, we got to have Ben Hicks going here. Mm-hmm. And all the game plans that they had for Starkle, you know, they had to throw out, and now they had to readjust for Ben Hicks.
Yeah. So if I had told you on Thursday, Ben Hicks is only – he's going to get hurt and has to leave in the second quarter and won't return, what odds would you
none.
Give in Arkansas to even be in the game in the fourth quarter?
None. Said, well, none at all.
What else? You know, what time is that? That Bama game starts at 2:30. You know, you've been looking for what else is on. Vanderbilt, Northern Illinois. I don't know, you'd be finding, because you would think there would be 0% chance. So I thought
that's
the
right.
team responded. Give the coaching staff credit for being able to put plays in and put a game plan in that helped Hicks. Hicks clearly is more of a field general from the standpoint there were guys lining up wrong, running backs on it should have been on his left that were on his right, things, and he was out there moving guys around. You could see he's more of a coach on the field. I don't think he's the player that Starkle is, but we don't know enough about, you know, what the future is with Starkle and his injury. You know, we just said foreseeable future. He's out for the foreseeable future. Is that till next, you know, to the next game against Kentucky? We don't know. But Hicks showed that was the best performance by a backup quarterback since Tyler Wilson at Auburn. That's all I can say. Best performance by a quarterback to come off the bench in 8 years.
Yep, and what's unfortunate is Arkansas still lost both of those games when the backup quarterback came
but
in. And that's
but
the
you
unfortunate
had a, you
thing.
Still had a chance, though, John.
Yep, you did.
Hicks
you
came
did.
In and didn't take away your opportunity to win the game. He may have improved your opportunity in reality.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's something that I want to discuss here in the next segment is talking about the quarterback position. And is there a quarterback controversy, or is Nick Starkle needing to be the next guy? Chad Moore still says he's the starter, but we'll wait and see how this plays out. If you want to get on the conversation, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Hog Reaction broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, the fourth oldest Ford dealership in America, where they have some great deals going on with the 2019 Ford Edge 0% plus $4,700 off in house savings. You can also check out the 2019 Ford F-150s, where you have 0% for 72 months or $6,500 off. Also, the 2020 Explorers are in, $1,000 off customer cash. And also, be sure to come in and ask about the Working Man Special. All you have to do is come up to one of the fine employees here at Randall Ford and say, John Neighbors sent you, and they're going to hook you up with a great gift card that they have plenty of. But here's the thing. That's only happening today. So if you want to get it and take advantage of the Working Man Special, come in today at Randall Ford, 5500 Rogers Avenue. Just say, John Neighbors sent you. and he'll hook you up. We'll
Who
get
the hell
to all
is John Neighbors?
Yes, there you go. Right on cue. We should have just had it piped up from the waitress from Sassy's. We should have just done it that way.
That may appear before the show.
Oh, no, I guarantee you that that's going to happen. But we'll get to all your phone calls, your text messages, and more on the Hog Reaction Show coming up. Welcome back into the Hog Reaction Show, broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, where they're having the Working Man Special going on. They know you work hard, and they appreciate you for working so hard. So come on in and get a special gift from Randall Ford. Just walk in and say, you were sent by John Neighbors. He sent you. I sent you. And you are here for the Working Man or Woman Special here at Randall Ford. Supplies are limited, so don't strike out and miss this opportunity. Just, again, say my name, and you get yourself a great gift from Randall Ford for being a working man or woman. Tommy, I kept expecting.
Who the hell is Johnny?
There he is.
I wasn't quite ready yet.
Okay, you weren't ready yet.
I was
trying to put
it on the hotkey here so I could just. At the instant.
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
You know,
oh,
so.
My goodness.
That's, it will live forever, though, now.
I think
the
that needs.
Rush.
Hey, that needs to be in our intro or something like that.
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
Yeah, halftime intro, they just have them, the callers pumping them up. And our intro, we just need to have our callers and people tearing us down. So
who the hell is John Neighbors?
That quote will live in infamy for sure. Yeah. But we're having some fun here on the Hog Reaction Show, getting your phone calls and text messages real quick. I know we have Spencer on hold, but Tommy, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I still think that if Nick Starkle is healthy, he is the guy. Even though Ben Hicks played well today, and that's commendable, I still think it's got to be Starkle's job and Starkle's job going forward.
Well, and I think that's what we're going to see is Starkle probably remain the starter, depending on – the health. I mean, we just don't know enough yet, and maybe there's something on Twitter I've missed since I've been here in the studio. I haven't been looking at every post, but I don't think anything was said in post game, and that's Chad Morris's style, is he's not going to reveal anything, and it may be well into the Kentucky game week before we really know what's going on with that. I'll be interested to see, because the question is, if he has no strength in his left arm, if it's a pinched nerve, a stinger, or whatever's going on, how quickly can the medical staff and the sports medicine staff get him ready to play, because you can't have a one-arm quarterback out there.
Yeah, and according to some of the quotes that were on Twitter, it looks like Chad Moore says that Nick Starkle is still the starter, which is kind of crazy because, he never would say that. But he says he does have a left-arm contusion. He couldn't grip the ball, but he still says he's the starter, though.
Yeah, well, and I guess the bye week couldn't have come at a better time from that standpoint, because you certainly but I'm going to tell you, if Ben Hicks could play that well at Kentucky – There wasn't enough difference today. He was much better today coming off the bench. He kept you in the game and really gave you a chance to win the game. Ben Hicks was awesome off the bench, much more than I expected.
Oh, yeah, got to give him credit for that, no doubt. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Spencer is in Philadelphia. What's going on, Spencer?
Hey, John, it's good hearing you guys on the post game. I love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I got to give Coach Morris a ton of credit. He said the team would bounce back. A lot of the fan base says that he was just full of empty cliches and that he talks the talk, but he couldn't walk the walk. And this was a very impressive performance today. Just the team was spirited. The offense moved the ball. There were a couple of really sad plays in the game, like that 3rd and 14 definitely hurt, the crossing route. But I definitely agree. It's Starkle's team. I think it's Nick's team because of the way Ben Hicks played against Portland State. You saw who the real Ben Hicks was. And today Ben Hicks came in relief. He did a great job. But I think Nick definitely gives you a better chance to win a game.
Yeah, no, I think we're all on the same page there, Spencer. And I appreciate your phone call and appreciate you listening in all the way up there from Pennsylvania. No, there's no doubt that if you're going to play the best quarterback, Nick Starkle's still the best quarterback. The talent-wise and everything, he's your guy. Now, it's just nice to know, though, that if things don't go well or if there is an injury, God forbid, you never want any of that to happen, but if there's some situation where Ben Hicks has to come in for Nick Starkle, you at least feel a little more comfortable with him coming in. Because the last impression that we had of Ben Hicks, Tommy, was him not even being able to throw the ball more than 3 yards down the field against Ole Miss, where he just looked all out of sorts. So at least there's a better impression that people have that if he does go out and if he has to come in, there's a little more confidence in him.
Man, there was a little bit of a moment. You'd lost Starkle and Rakeem Boyd was, he was injured as he went off the sideline. You're thinking, oh, my goodness, how much worse can this be? Because, I think what we saw today is if Starkel goes out, the team could still be okay. Boyd goes out, you got Hammond's back, but, I mean, you know how rugged it is. You're going to need three good running backs to get through this, and Rakeem Boyd's been your best one, might be your best football player overall on this team. So that was a scary moment, too, to be thinking about two of your most productive offensive players having to move forward without them. Fortunately, Boyd returned to the game.
Let's squeeze in another quick phone call on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Thomas is in Marshall. What's going on, Thomas?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to tell y'all I was so impressed with Ben Hicks. I think this is the best game he's played as a Razorback, and I this is one of Chad Morris's best wins. This is one of Chad Morris's best performances as a head coach at U of A.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd be hard to argue with you. I mean, the fact is that he hasn't had a lot of great games to really say that about. But that's the thing is that, again, I know that at the end of the day, it's all about the score, and that's all that matters. But if you look at the stats, every stat Arkansas led, they had more total yards. They had more passing yards, more rushing yards. They had more first downs. They caused more turnovers. They had more sacks, more tackles for losses. I mean, it's got to be frustrating to know that in the whole, as far as the stats go, you did so well. You did well enough to win, but at the end of the day, it's all about that scoreboard. And if you don't score more points than the other team, it's going to still count up as a loss. But it was definitely a much more inspired and spirited performance from the Razorbacks that we haven't seen in some time.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree totally, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Tommy. You know, the thing with just to balance what you're saying there, and I don't disagree with you, John. We were talking some of the same stuff after the A&M game last year.
Oh, I know.
And the balance of the season didn't work out well. So let's not get ahead of ourselves, get out over our skis, and think what we saw today will certainly, without question, turn into more wins. I am hopeful that they can build on the foundation that they laid out there today and be a better football team in 2 weeks when they take on Kentucky. But we thought the same thing a year ago when they played A&M and looked better in, what was that, 24-17, the final, and it didn't result in more wins down the stretch. So hopefully that's the difference this year, is this shot of confidence actually results in more wins. And we know the difficulty moving forward with Bama, LSU, Auburn, all coming up on the schedule.
Yep, and you have 2 weeks, Tommy. You have 2 weeks until you play Kentucky on the road. Not saying it's a for sure win, but it's definitely a very winnable game, no doubt.
Might, other than Western Kentucky, might be the most likely win the rest of the way. You're just thinking about coming off the bye, being a healthier football team. That might be your best opportunity, even though it's on the road, just considering the timing of everything.
No question, especially given the circumstances of where you're at and trying to get everybody healthy. Not saying that anybody's going to be out just yet. We got to wait and see what Chad Morris has to say about the extent of some of these injuries, but there's no doubt that the extra week is going to be helpful in getting everybody back for sure. 877-377-6963 is the Cherokee Casino Hotline to call in on Hog Reaction, broadcasting live from Randall Ford in Fort Smith. Welcome back into Hog Reaction Show. Appreciate everybody listening in as we are broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, the fourth oldest Ford dealership in America. I got Jordan with me. And Jordan, what do you guys got going on today?
Man, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Talking about these F-150s, some of them have so much money in rebates, it's unreal. But look at these Rangers just sitting out there. Look at the selection we have. They're 0%, 1.9 on those. They're amazing deals.
Well, I'm looking at this working man special you guys got going on, and I was handed this, and I was told to tell everybody that if you want to take advantage of the great working man special to show that Randall Ford's showing appreciation for all the hard-working men and women out there, they have to come here and say that I sent them. They have to use my name.
Absolutely.
John Neighbor sent them.
So John Neighbor sent them. You know, absolutely. We want to take care of Fort Smith, big blue-collar town, man. A lot of hard-working people that deserve a good discount and a good price on a vehicle. We just want to make sure they get taken care of.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully they can they know my name enough to at least use it when they come on by.
Exactly. They come in and tell you that you sent them, but, you know, they need to ask for me, Jordan. So.
Yeah, exactly. They need to ask for Jordan, but they can say my name, and they will be able to get a great gift here from Randall Ford. Well, Jordan, appreciate you hopping on, and if you guys want to come out and get you a great deal on a Ford vehicle, Jordan will be sure to make sure that you're taken care of, man.
Absolutely, John. Right. Thank you. Have a great
day. Hey, appreciate it, man. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Let's go back to the hotline. Ryan is in Van Buren. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. What you got?
Oh, my goodness. Holy smokes. I sent this text in. Where's this team been? Where has this team came from? Actually proud. I probably was an hour behind on a project I was working on because I just stopped and started listening to the game. And last week, my guts were throwing up. I mean, all three phases of the game, if we can just clean up those penalties, those costly, timely penalties, I think we're going to see a lot more. And I know every year they play A&M different, and I'm right there with everybody. It's so hard not to react to this and overreact, but goodness gracious. To actually be there making the drive in the fourth quarter again, we haven't seen that in a long, long time, and it's just, wow, what a game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was entertaining to the very end, and it kept you into the game. And I know that we were kind of sarcastically, or maybe only somewhat sarcastically, saying that it didn't matter because we still felt like the inevitable was happening, that Arkansas was going to lose. But just in the fact that they were able to be in that position, knowing how poorly they played against San Jose State, knowing that when your starting quarterback goes down, that type of adversity, you never want that to be hit. But they kept going at him. They kept piling up. They kept making some plays here and there. Unfortunately, they just didn't make enough of the plays. You're hoping this can be something that they can build on going up into the bye week and heading into Kentucky, because all of this will be for naught if they completely and totally lay an egg against Kentucky in 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, if we would have played the way we played today, my goodness, we would have came into it probably undefeated if we could have played early in the season. I think they needed last week to happen to them to pull their head out of their rear end and get something going. And as I texted, they answered Eddie's bell. He called all three shows Friday. And, man, wow. Guys, look forward to Monday and what that show's going to be. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Ryan.
You never want to have to lose to a team like San Jose State to get your head out of your rear.
No.
That is coaching. It's the coach's job to keep your head out of your rear.
Yeah.
Sometimes the coaches got to get their head out of their rears.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with them in saying that if Arkansas would have played this way every game this season, they would have been 4-0 heading into A&M. They would have.
That's what we said earlier. Told you that after the game. I mean, exactly. If they just played at this level, might have still lost today because the way they played today wasn't good enough to win today. But the way they played today was good enough to win the last two they've lost, Ole Miss and, of course, San Jose State.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, we have a few people that are texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eric in Hot Springs says, do y'all think that Chavis being in the booth helped?
You know, good question.
Yeah, it is a good question, but here's the problem. It's like, I don't know what exactly would have changed. Maybe it was Chavis just having a bigger or better eye on the field and an eye on developments and all of that. Maybe that was helpful. I'm not totally sure because he's been a guy who, when he was in his most successful runs at Tennessee and LSU, he was always in the booth. He was always a booth guy. So maybe he felt more comfortable and confident as well. But that's one of those things that, you know, maybe just a small little adjustment could have helped.
Maybe it keeps him calmer up there when he's not down in the middle of it and, like you say, can see everything. He's had Steve Caldwell in the booth until this week. And when, you know, those guys have worked together for more than, you know, 15 years together at Tennessee alone. So, I mean, I'm sure that their communication and knowing what, you know, Steve knowing what John needs to see down there was never a problem. But I think maybe removing yourself from the emotion of being in the sideline, from the reactions you give to players, just all of that, you can be a little more analytical about what you're doing as a coordinator.
Yep. And also, Jason texts in from the 479, says the fan base has zero patience because of the Bielema regime. Morris inherited a dumpster fire in the most competitive conference in the country. It takes time and patience. And again, Jason, I don't disagree, and I don't think anybody disagrees with you. Again, it just the feelings that people have had about Morris and the coaching staff stems from losing to San Jose State. That's what it was. It was San Jose State and the fact that it doesn't matter what Bielema left behind a year and a half ago. That does not matter. You do not lose to San Jose State. And so patience is fine. And I don't think that if you would have been 3-1, if you would have beaten San Jose State and you would have lost to A&M the way you did, I still don't think people would be up in arms just saying this is never going to work. This is terrible. But it is what it is. You lost to San Jose State. And you're going to have to redeem yourself from that. And the only way you can is with wins. Because at the end of the day, yes, and lots of them to try to redeem that. But, you know, again, it's the nice effort and it's all well, good, great, and wonderful, but you still got to win.
It's like trying to walk into Cherokee Casino tonight with only $20 in your pocket. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, hit it in the right spot and get going. But when you have no credit built up, no chips in your corner, and then you lose a game like San Jose State, that's like losing all your $20 on your first slot machine. Makes sense?
Yeah.
Because Chad Morris has no credit built up. He's got to build some chips up. And he lost. He had to hit the ATM after last week. That's what had to happen.
Yep.
He lost all. He's in the hole.
You know, Tommy, I could rely on you to come up with that.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, man.
No, I know.
You know, when Bobby Petrino, and he didn't lose a game necessarily like that, but he had credit built up. Houston Nutt survived for 10 years. He lost some games, you know, that were very disappointing. But he had enough credit built up from successful seasons. And he started out with a great role, a great run in 98 that built tons of credit in his corner, in his favor. Chad Morris hadn't done anything to build any credit up. He's at the ATM, man, trying to get another 20. That's just the way it is.
Yep. And, you know, if he is able to get it going after this bye week and find a way to beat Kentucky, things change. Feelings change. I think a lot of different things change. But for right now, you're just going to have to deal with the current situation that you find yourselves in. And if you want to still have patience and still have hope in Chad Morris, they can get it turned around, that's fine. I'm not going to hate on you for doing it, but I also don't really have any reason to criticize those who still have issues. I have no reason behind that.
I think he's shown us again today that it's possible. They need players with more talent, more experience. You know, it's hard to win with that many freshmen on your team. Now, not all those freshmen are playing. When we say 53 freshmen, they're not playing 53 freshmen. They're playing about 15, you know, at times total.
Yeah.
And they're not starting all those guys. But still, they're playing. They're a young football team, second youngest defense in the country. So there's a lot of reasons why the future is bright, but sometimes you gotta live through the lean times to get to the other side. And I thought earlier in the show, I think Kirby called from Branson and said, you know, everybody wanted to run Nolan out after a couple seasons. And he was kind of one of those because the results weren't there. And think about all the things you'd have missed out on if you didn't give Nolan another couple of years to show what was going to happen. And he took that first team of his to the Final Four in 1990 in Denver, and then it was on from there. And I'm not saying that Chad Morris getting ready to make, you know, multiple runs to the college football playoff, but 2 years is a little quick to start pulling triggers.
Yeah, but until he starts winning some of these games, he's supposed to, though.
I get it.
That's where people are at.
I'm not going to criticize anyone for having that opinion. So
no, not at all. Not at all. Hey, what about the play of some of these? First off, let me ask you this. Treylon Burks had a great game. I mean, that guy's just a beast. Punt return, he had that great punt return that put Arkansas in great position. He had some great catches. O'Grady had a great game as well. 8 catches for 91 yards. But let me ask you this, Tommy. Trey Knox was out in this game with a hip injury.
Right.
If he's in and healthy, do you think that makes a huge difference?
If he's in and what?
If he's in and healthy.
And healthy. Oh, I thought those are the key words there. Because he didn't play healthy last week. And they didn't have Burks, so they really kind of had to lean on him. So it's about getting healthy. That's why this bye week's timed right. Would he have made a difference? Absolutely, because he gives you another mismatch, another physical mismatch that you can hopefully exploit. One more player for the defense to be accountable for. Absolutely, him being healthy. Him being out there and not healthy doesn't probably do much for you. But 100% Trey Knox or 90-something percent Trey Knox would certainly be something I think could have made a difference in this game. The margin of error is very thin here.
That's right.
I mean, we're talking about another handful of plays, and that's the difference in the outcome.
Yeah, because I think if he was healthy and playing, you know, having those two big targets with him and Burks, I mean, that goes a long way. And obviously, Cheyenne O'Grady, the way he's starting to really get going in the offense is going to be big too. But, yeah, healthy with this team is something that has to happen. They have to be healthy. And like you said, the bye week couldn't come at a better time to try to get not only Nick Starkel healthy, which, as of what we know, is just a left arm contusion. We don't know the significance of it or the extent of it. Hopefully we'll know more about on Monday when Chad Morris meets with the media. But get everybody healthy has got to be the number one thing.
Yeah. Hey, if you want to go see Foghat tonight, you can do that at 7 at Cherokee Casino. Not at 7 p.m. It's at 9 p.m. That's the name of the club there. 7 at Cherokee Casino Hotel, West Siloam Springs. It starts at 9 o'clock tonight. That can be a little confusing. They're going to be inside 7 there tonight. Foghat at Cherokee Casino, West Siloam Springs tonight, beginning at 9 o'clock. And tonight, you could be one of 12 lucky people at Cherokee Casino Hotel, West Siloam, for the $1 million high roller. We heard Nelson earlier. He's headed there for that. Two names will be drawn every hour starting at 5 o'clock. So you can get there right now and ending at 10 o'clock to toss 5 dice for a chance to win $1 million. So that's tonight at Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs. Your chance to win $1 million tonight at Cherokee Casino in West Siloam.
We'll give you some score updates around college football in the final segment of the Hog Reaction Show, as well as look ahead to the future heading into the bye week. Stay with us, folks. More of the Hog Reaction Show broadcasting live from Randall Ford in Fort Smith coming up next. Welcome back into Hog Reaction, broadcasting live from Randall Ford here in Fort Smith, 5500 Rogers Avenue, the fourth oldest Ford dealership in America, where they are having the Working Man Special going on. They know that you work hard, and they appreciate your hard work, so come in and get a special gift from Randall Ford. All you have to do is say that I sent you, not Tommy Kraft. Say that John Neighbors sent you, the real guy that they want you to know about. And if you come in there and they say that I sent you, they will hook you up with a great gift card special from Randall Ford.
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
For all the hard work, yeah. For all the hard work that you do. I was setting you up. I was trying to softball that one in there for you, Tommy. But
it was a hanging curve. I was just waiting to drive out of the park.
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
There you go. There you go. That's right. So just come on in to Randall Ford, say John Neighbors sent you, and they'll hook you up with a great gift for the Working Man Special here from Randall Ford. All right, just to get into a few things going around in college football. You know, it's kind of been a weird day so far in college football, obviously with Arkansas and Texas A&M getting the victory there. But right now, it was tied at 14 with Clemson and North Carolina, the number one team in the country. Clemson just scored a go-ahead touchdown, up 21-14 now, Clemson is, with 9:54 left to go in the game. So North Carolina, Mac Brown's doing a really good job, Tommy, in his first year. I know that they're sitting at 2-2, but
yeah, they lost to App State, and you know, that's what happened. He was another coach that danced following a win the previous week, and you know, got caught dancing, and a couple weeks later lose to App State, so they had to have this one.
So. You need to have a hashtag of stop coaches from dancing, quit apparently, because that's the ultimate. Ultimate nail in the coffin when it comes to those losses. Now, Alabama and Ole Miss was an interesting one, at least for a second, because it was at the end of the first quarter, Tommy, Ole Miss was actually leading Alabama 10-7, and it was outrageous. Well, then the second quarter happened, and Alabama scored 31-0 to Ole Miss. So now, here in the third quarter, they're up 51-17.
Yeah, and I'm doing the math right now because I think on our Morning Rush picks, I've got Ole Miss, and I'm by myself. And I'm going to need it because I took A&M by myself, and I lost that one. So I need this thing to just stay right where – I need Alabama to quit finding the end zone. So I think I'm in trouble.
Yeah, because I'm trying to do the math in my head because right now I guess they are up – 35 now, because they just hit the extra point.
Just went 52-17, yeah. 35.
So, yeah, you better hope that it stays right here. But
I need some Ole Miss scoring, baby.
But with 5.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter, Tommy.
That's a lot of football.
Not liking your chances.
That's a lot of football.
And by the way, Tua goes 20 of 28, 370 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Yeah. So just another day at the office for old Tua at Alabama. So that was the big games going on right now in college football. Notre Dame and Virginia also going on. Now, it's at least a ranked opponent, one of the few ranked games going on. Notre Dame has the victory 28-17, or excuse me, has the lead 28-17 late in the third quarter over Virginia, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Washington and USC 28-14, Washington leading this game with 12:57 left to go in the game. And also, maybe on upset alert, Tommy, Indiana is up 24-21 on Michigan State in the fourth quarter. Plenty of time left as the fourth quarter just started, but still maybe on upset alert there for Indiana over Michigan State.
Yeah, so some games to keep an eye on. And then tonight we get to see Auburn and Mississippi State. That's the game I'm interested in tonight. Got Auburn in a few games or a few weeks now, middle of October. And Mississippi State's a team that you'd like to think you could have a chance to beat at home, so that will be the big SEC game tonight.
Who'd you take in that game? Because I know that was part of our fence man picks. Yeah. You took Auburn? Yeah. Okay. I think I took Auburn as well. Have to remember that. But, yeah, you're not looking good in the A&M and Alabama ones.
I'm reeling right now. So.
Yeah, so we could really gain some ground on Clay if that ends up being the case. But, yeah, that's really the only big SEC game left tonight is the Mississippi State and Auburn game. I think Auburn's going to roll in that one, but we'll see. I guess Kentucky, South Carolina. I guess if you're an Arkansas fan, you want to get a little extra preview of what your next opponent is going to be. Mm-hmm. Kentucky and South Carolina, both teams that are 0-2 in the SEC, so there's something to watch.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly a game that, I think the previous button on your remote needs a little work out tonight watching those couple of games. So.
Oh yeah.
South Carolina is just hard to get. I mean that may be a good ball game. I guess you're hoping it is because if Kentucky just pounds South Carolina, you're going to think, oh, man, they're maybe better than you think. But South Carolina, not very good. South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas right now got a lot of proving themselves to do in this league.
Yeah, and man, just I know we still go back to it, but A&M's not very good either. But here's the key,
but they're better than Arkansas, Tennessee, and South Carolina.
I agree. And here's the other thing, too, folks. I failed to mention this because we'd said that Arkansas's got their bye week heading into this week's into Kentucky. Well, guess what? Kentucky also has a bye week mm-hmm. this weekend. So, you know, if you're hoping for an advantage there, probably not going to have one because both teams are going to have that extra week to prepare for one another. So, should end up being a great game. Well, Tommy, we just got a couple minutes left here on Hog Reaction. What's the forecast look for you for Arkansas going forward? What are some things that I mean, obviously we have a little more hope about maybe the rest of the season and some of these games, but yeah. What's going to be the main thing they got to work on coming weeks?
I thought they fixed some things on defense. I mean, they didn't give up 500. They didn't give up 400 today. 340 yards on 68 plays. You know, kept Texas A&M to under 100 yards rushing in the game. You know, so 351 yards passing. I thought defensively they fixed some things. Was this the best offense they played all year? I think so. I mean, most probably on paper, at least most talented. Arkansas did some things to take some things from them defensively, got pressure. So they got to build upon this. And we got to find out what the answers are at quarterback. Yeah. And that all revolves around the health of this left arm contusion, we're told it is, for Nick Starkel.
Yeah, that's going to be the key, is just trying to get everybody healthy. If you can get Trey Knox back and healthy, get Traylon Burks. I know he's been battling two teams. Get him healthy. Colton Jackson, Rakeem Boyd. I know he was banged up. He was fine later in the game. But still, if you can just get everybody healthy and be at full go, man, that's going to just be huge for Arkansas and going up against Kentucky. But, yeah, they got to work on that. I think that's number one, is they just have to work on getting healthy. But also, Tommy, and I know we'll talk more about this a lot more on the Morning Rush on Monday, but – man, the amount of pre-snap penalties that this team has, especially with illegal formations and like that's stuff that, listen, I mean, I understand that, you know, penalties happen. You're not going to have a perfect game every game. But for crying out loud, that's the type of basic stuff that should never happen, especially with as how often it's happened for Arkansas.
You think about the time that Arkansas, was it Burks? He had two wide receivers. It wasn't one. It was two that both jumped early going downfield, jumped false start. Now, I don't know if that's on the quarterback and the cadence was maybe off. If the center enticed Clary, snapped the ball late. But those were the only two guys that moved. So what happened there? You know, those are the kind of things that just, you know, really take away and hurt your third down conversions and then and just kill drives. You know, Arkansas had two men in motion, an illegal shift. Those are the kind of penalties. You know, people want to look at the flag totals. Well, those are call it themselves flags. I mean, when you false start and you jump off sides on defense and those kind of self-inflicted penalties, those call themselves. So Arkansas could really clean a lot of things up, quit giving away some first downs or putting themselves in a position to not convert a third down by just taking that stuff out of their game.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Illegal formation, they had that twice today. I mean, you start they had eight flags today, and we can think of four or five right there that were just Ned, the first grade reader, called it themselves fouls. I mean, quit doing it. Just quit being stupid.
You got to clean it up, no doubt. Appreciate Randall Ford having us out here. Be sure to come on by and check out their great deals, 5500 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. We'll be back on the Morning Rush bright and early, 6 o'clock Monday morning, to get more of your reactions and break down this game as well. Appreciate everybody listening in. For Tommy Kraft, I'm John Neighbors. We'll see you Monday morning, folks.